Welcome to our evening Vespers. Please join me in the confession of sin, as you will find it on starting on page 120. Dearly beloved, we've come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of Your holy name. Lift up your hearts with comfort and joy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated for our lesson. Scripture reading for our meditation this evening during this Epiphany, the first week of Epiphany, when we often focus on the boy Jesus in the temple. It's a great week to also focus for us on raising our children in the Word of God. Our lesson tonight is from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. And St. Paul writes these words by divine inspiration. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back when my son was in eighth grade, I was talking to him one night, and I thought I'd ask him kind of a daring question. I said, well, you've been under your mother and my parenting now for about 14 years, and from your perspective, is there anything that you wish we did differently as your mom and dad? And he sat and thought about it for a moment, and then he said, well, I wish you'd let me watch The Simpsons. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. And I said, well, one of the reasons that I just don't think The Simpsons is a good show for children is because it kind of paints the parents, especially the dad, as sort of a buffoon. And it tends to undermine his role as the head of the family and things. And I said, but if you want, we'll sit down a couple times and watch some episodes together and we'll discuss it. And then we'll take it from there. So we did, and we had some nice conversations. And I remember at the end of one of those episodes, my son said to me, you know, Dad, Bart's sister, I forget her name, Lisa, she always obeys what her parents want, and her life goes smoothly. Bart doesn't, and his life doesn't go so smoothly. And I know Homer, the dad, he said, is kind of depicted kind of in a funny way. But he does love his wife, and he cares about his family, and their family stays together. He said, you know, Dad, The Simpsons might be the best family show on TV right now. And I thought, well, there might be some truth to that. It's kind of a sad commentary on our culture at the time. The roles that we play as husbands and wives and moms and dads in our families can have a tremendous impact on the children who grew up there. Back in the 1990s, there was a gentleman by the name of David Blankenhorn who was a graduate of Harvard, and he did his entire work at Harvard on the study of families, and especially on the roles of dads. Now, this was not from a Christian perspective at all, just a sociological perspective. And he later served under a commission on the family for President George W. Bush. And this was some of his observations in the late 90s. He wrote this, "More than half of our nation's children are likely to spend at least a significant portion of their childhoods living apart from their fathers. The most important absence our society must confront is not the absence of fathers, but the absence of our belief in fathers." That was an interesting observation, that we live in a culture that not only has diminished the thought of parenting, but especially when it comes to looking at the role of a dad, has almost lost confidence in seeing the importance of that role. Now, there are many sociological impacts to this, and you can find them all over the place, in many inner cities and so on, where fathers are pretty much no longer around. But that is really not the concern that we have. Although God certainly has established the roles of parents in this life and in this world, also for sociological benefits, but the real concern for us, and as we see in our text tonight, has to do with the spiritual benefits and the spiritual taking care of children in the home. The primary concern for God's church in this world is the lingering effects of these types of worldly attitudes on how we might end up viewing our roles as parents and the potential spiritual devastation that can take place and can happen inside of Christian homes. Now, you as college students are kind of straddling two very important places in your life. You are coming off of being a child and to a lesser and lesser degree probably every day, not under the tutelage of your parents so much anymore. If you think about your parents' role as your parent is to actually work themselves out of a job, to teach you out of needing them to be a parent to them in their lives. And your presence here in God's house tonight is a testimony to that and a testimony to their work for you. So you are straddling your childhood and adolescence, if you will, and coming out of that now into adulthood, but also looking ahead to being a potential parent on your own and establishing your own family. And so St. Paul is addressing you and me and all of us in each of these, if you will, estates in our lives. Our society continues to diminish the role of a parent and the blessings even of having a family and having children. And our society tends to drive us towards seeing the value we have in life based on material things that we can get and stuff that we can possess. And seeing that as kind of the great altar that we should bow before, to have a nice career and a nice house and a nice car. And it's easy with that type of thinking around us to let this kind of wash over us, even as members of the church, and not think quite as highly of our roles in the homes as parents and taking care of our children, especially their spiritual lives. And it's sad to see this when that trap of thinking can suddenly snatch Christian people away, to forget how highly God values the roles of being a husband and a wife and a mom and a dad, and to kind of diminish that in their thinking as well. Sometimes Christian women are made to feel foolish for wanting to be a wife and wanting to be a mom. Whereas God in his word exalts this as a wonderful, beautiful thing. And sometimes even fellow Christians, I can hear occasionally make comments that almost put down the role of being a mother. Scripture would have us understand the work and the vocation that's involved in this in a completely the opposite way, as being supportive of the higher and greater good for God's church, caring for children and especially their souls. Listen to what Martin Luther writes in the Large Catechism. God has exalted fatherhood and motherhood above all other relations under his scepter. He does not command merely to love the parents, but to honor them. As to our brothers, sisters, and neighbors, God generally commands nothing higher than that we love them, but he distinguishes father and mother above all other persons on earth and places them next to himself. And Luther often uses that expression, that God would have us think that he reaches down and plucks our parents up, our moms and our dads, and sets them right next to him for his authority in heaven, and that we should view them with that kind of an exalted understanding. Now, the reason there is such importance to this role in the home is because God has designed these roles of being a parent to be the most crucial place where the wonderful Christian faith is passed on and instilled into the hearts of little children. And as a pastor, as a parish pastor, I have served a few thousand church members. And I will say this, it's very rare to run across somebody who really cares about Christ and the things of his kingdom where they didn't get that from their parents. It's something that, and it shows how important these roles are from the perspective of heaven and how God would have us see and understand the tremendous weight, the gravity and significance that he puts into these precious vocations. Because it's through these vocations of a mom and a dad working with their children where the love of Jesus is inculcated in a child's heart through God's word and through prayer life and devotional life. Certainly your pastor and your teachers help with that as well. But if you really look at what God says in Scripture, he puts the onus, the greatest gravitas upon the role of the parents in the home. This is where this work is primarily to take place. There's a story about in the ancient church from the second century about one of the early church fathers by the name of Origen. And Origen, even as a teenager, expressed this very strong faith. But apparently when he was a very little infant and had just been baptized, the story goes that when his father would put him to bed at night, he would bend down over his son and he would gently kiss his chest. And the reason was because of the baptism that created faith in that baby's heart, he felt that that was where he was the nearest to the kingdom of God. Kind of an interesting picture of his role as a dad and how he viewed the precious nature of what he was doing for that child. Our parenthood by God's design is an essential part of the mission of the church. It is God's primary way to nourish and protect and encourage the gift of faith in Jesus Christ so that the Holy Spirit can continue to work in children's hearts throughout their lives. And Paul's words here are directed to what takes place in our home life. Probably 85% of you sitting here tonight will become parents someday, if statistics are right. Now, from the devil's perspective, he launches an all-out offensive against the role of parent. And he will try to do anything he can to disrupt relationships in the home, between mom and dad, between parent and child, because he knows that when he spoils that, when he wrecks that, when he brings trouble and chaos into that, it will often have spiritual devastation in the lives of the children and possibly the parents as well. I'm going to conclude with a story tonight that that I've maybe used before. Pardon me if you've heard me say it before, but I think it is so pertinent. Many years ago when I was a pastor, there was a young family that came for baptism. And as a young couple, she had been brought up in a home with really no Christianity and had now gone through instruction and become a member of the church. The husband was from a very devout family that really loved Christ and his word. And they wanted a private baptism because there were about 50 of them that were going to come. And on a Saturday morning, we set this all up and had the font out. And as the families came into the church that day, I remember you could clearly see the difference in the two families. On the one side, the grandfather of the great-grandfather, actually, of the little baby, came up to me, and he was dressed kind of ragged and everything. And he said, "How long is this going to take?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know, 15 minutes or so." And he said, "Well, let's get it going because I've got some fishing I want to do. It's a good day for fishing." And he clearly had better things to do with his time than to be there for the baptism of his great-grandchild. The other dad, I remember, a great-grandpa, came through the door. He was a member of our church, had on a suit and tie, and he, you could tell, was taking this to be a very serious thing. And as the families came in, they both sat on different sides of the church with the font right in the middle. The mom and the dad of the child were up in the front. But other than that, you could see a clear distinction because one family sat on one side and one sat on the other. And as I went through the baptismal order and we read off all of the different little statements back and forth from Scripture and things, You could tell that the one side, the family that cared about Christ, you could tell this had gone through the whole family. They all were taking it very seriously. The other side, it was very obvious that they had no time for this. And I thought to myself, that's how important the role of the great grandpa was in each family tree. It caused a rot in the entire generations to come because of his lack of care about it. And yet how God had used the love of Christ and the word and sacrament in the life of this one father, and it has impacted his entire family as they sat there. May God grant each of us a proper understanding of the spiritual significance of the future role that you may play as a husband, a wife, a mom, and a dad. And may God give us hearts of faith to see ourselves as special caretakers of the souls of these little children who have been saved by the same wonderful grace of God that has saved us, the same forgiving Lord and Savior who has given us his holiness and righteousness that none of us have by ourselves, that we now possess by faith, and has given us that same promise of everlasting life in heaven. And may God stir up our hearts to make it a top priority in our lives to make sure that our children remain with that same wonderful Savior we have become blessed to know. Amen. Let us rise then and continue with the versicle on page 122.
Thank you.
Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity. Of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you.